Welcome to Creating Flow, the podcast where I, Joni Francisco, hope to empower women helpers and healers to unblock their energy and unlock their power. We're tackling the tough reality that many in the healing professions are often sacrificing their well-being in the pursuit of helping others. Not only do I believe this is just plain wrong, it ends up draining their vitality and diminishing their ability to serve. I've experienced this struggle firsthand and emerged with insights and strategies to break this cycle. That's why each week we explore practical methods not only to replenish your energy, but also cultivate abundance in your life. You'll gain actionable steps to fill your cup first, ensuring you can overflow with energy and serve others without burning out. Is trying to find the next thing to fix you really just keeping you from healing? What if all the answers were available to you in that open space of being instead of that constant repetition of doing? Today, I have a guest on the show, very special guest, Jenna Lee Anderson, and she is a channel and a somatic healing coach here to help people heal their barriers to freedom in health, relationships, and business. She has downloaded a four-phase approach to healing and living that I think is radically going to change the healing dynamic, showing the bridge between fixing and being whole. Today, we explore the concept of doing versus being, how this contributes to your actual healing, the freedom to enjoy your life, and so much more. But first, if you like what you hear today, then I would highly suggest joining the Abundance and Flow community on School. Not only are there free, awesome AF trainings in there, we are building a community of other helpers ready to have abundance and flow in their lives. Let's journey together towards freedom in life, health, and business. The link to join is in the show notes, and I hope to see you there. Hi, Jenna Lee. Welcome to the Creating Flow podcast. So excited to have you on today. And we're going to be talking about that area of being in the doing or the being and how stuckness can be found in our external world when we're kind of stuck playing in those spaces. So we had an interesting conversation a couple of weeks ago, and it was just really inspiring to think about how our work that we produce or the way our life looks different if we're it being versus doing all of the time. And you had some really good insight on that. So I wanted to bring you in and go over that and help our listeners see how sometimes actually being in the being space will bring much more abundance and flow into their life than in stuck in the doing, right?
First of all, thank you so much for having me. This is obviously a topic I'm really excited about lately because we did get into a deep convo about it. And yeah, it's something that's come up in my life a lot before. And so that's kind of what gets me excited about it is when I'm able to turn my experience into a framework or something that I can help explain to somebody else that might be in it right now. And yeah, there's a huge difference when you're really caught up in your mind. The doing is very much being stuck in your mind, and it can be all consuming because your mind can be all consuming. And so it's finding what those tools are that can really shift you from being stuck in your mind, moving back into your body or into your body maybe for the first time.
Yeah. And I think you and I really know what this means because, well, we've practiced both sides of that coin, probably, especially in the last few years. For me, that journey has changed a lot to a lot more being and less doing, but other people might not know. So I just wanted to real quick, like doing is, you know, having your checklist of 100 things you have to get done. And versus would be maybe getting quiet in a meditative space and being like, what's the one most important thing that I could embrace today, right? Like something like that would be different, but that's still kind of doing. So I kind of hesitate on that. But there's still layers, right? We still have to bring the being back into an action thing in this 3D world, I think. Maybe you have a different opinion on that. What are some other places that you see people stuck in that doing when being may be more beneficial for them?
Yeah, I found it for myself is when I was so focused on taking action to achieve. So it's like, no matter what, if I just do these things, then I will achieve this without any reflection or integration of, well, how am I showing up when I'm doing those things? Or how do I feel when I'm doing those things? So that's a big differentiation, is being so focused on the action, following any prescriptive plan or protocol. So whether that's a really rigid diet or exercise program or even a therapy that's really regular. It's like, oh, well, if I just do the therapy, and I'm not saying anything bad about therapy, but if you're stuck in the doing, in the prescriptive doing, or even a traditional 12-step program. And I'm not saying that's bad either, but it's being able to integrate the being into it. And so when you're stuck in that, another way to tell if you're there is kind of oscillating between feeling overwhelmed and hopeless and like looking for that next action, that next thing you can do to achieve the desired result. So it's kind of like a ongoing hamster wheel of what's that next thing I can do? What's this next modality I can try? Like it's very stuck in the doing.
I love that piece. And then something that really hit on me for that is we often hear, you know, you have to enjoy the journey, right? And I feel like when we're stuck in the doing, we're like looking for that achievement of checking all the things off the list and not enjoying as we move through whatever it is that we're doing, right? So what I hear you say and what I think to be true about this is that we're going to get stuck, right, in the gap a lot if we're just in the doing. And in the being, we are getting fulfillment from actually the stuff that we're doing as well, right? Like we're able to feel it. We're able to enjoy it. We're able to not be so achievement. Like achievement's not necessarily the end goal when you're being. Being is the goal, right? Enjoying it, being part of the process.
Yeah, it can almost be like an out-of-body experience when we're stuck in the doing because we're not actually paying attention to how we feel. And so we might not be noticing that the thing we're doing is completely out of alignment with us or that it feels terrible inside or that it's bringing up these emotions. And so being in that more integrated space of buying into your body, your emotions, like how it feels and bringing alignment between the two, you enjoy the ride more because you're more in tune with what you're doing and you're choosing the things that are actually in alignment with you too. So it's not just the fact that you're being more, but you're creating that alignment because you're bringing both parties together. Like you're not leaving one whole aspect out. You're bringing the body in. So you're connecting both the mind and the body and creating a better experience overall.
Yeah, I so love that. And I love that you brought up that out of body experience because I, prior to the work I've done, you know, I've led a really logical life and I'm kind of a baby in this like woo space of like, you know, 5 to 10 years and even knowing this kind of work or this kind of life even existed. And I would have said out of body experience would have been a woo experience before, right? And so it's so interesting to now be like, well, actually, when we are connected to our body and in alignment to the universe and to ourselves and others in more of a collective sort of way, that that's actually, I don't know if higher path is the word, but it's more woo in that respect. But what gets to happen to us is we get to be fully present and being, and that we get to use the energy that's available to us in all ways instead of just our mind, like you were saying, right? And so it really is being more present in our body. It keeps us grounded in the what's available to us in a bigger picture in a way.
Yeah, it's a more groundedness, just like you said, presence in your life and in what you're participating in and what you're choosing to do and even just your daily habits, like all of it. It's very hard. It almost becomes hard to be stuck because you're so in tune with the present. Like you can't be stuck if you're in tune with the present. So it is such a different thing. And it's my experience, like you said, I wouldn't have thought I was out of body by any means in that previous version of my life. But looking back, there's actually huge chunks of my memory that I just don't have memories of my life. And it, not that I was blackout, it was traumatic. I wasn't present for it. And so there's parts of my life where I really wonder like, oh, what did I do? Like, what was that gap, right, in my memory? But yeah, it's really living out of body for quite a while.
Yeah. And both of us work with people that have had experiences, right? And I do feel like having trauma or even just times in our life where we're more in that doing, but also flight or fight, right? Like we're just going, 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 going. And it doesn't allow, if we don't get into that parasympathetic space of that rest and restore, it doesn't allow for putting down memory. And so it's super interesting how that all works kind of in a circle. And so when we're in survival, right, we are doing the grind a lot of the times because that's all we can do is just get up and breathe and eat and do the things we have to do because we're either stuck by circumstance or stuck by past circumstance, right, or past experiences. So those are some of the things that people will experience if they're not in the being, right? And what are some other things that you've noticed? People, you know, symptoms or the pain points, as we call it, they're experiencing.
I think I've seen it too in my own life of trying, like, again, in that seeking of trying to find the next thing that might be the thing that solves all of your life's issues. So it's that seeking, returning into, again, presence. And so, again, in that presence in your body, you now have that tool of discernment because you're in tune with your natural intuition and what you're being drawn to. And so you can easily discern amongst all of the information that's out there, all of the programs, all of the books, all of the podcasts, whatever it is, you're connected to your inner tool to be like, oh, no, that's not for me. Oh, yeah, this one really speaks to me. Like, you're present and in tune with that part of your body that's really calling you to the next thing. And so it's really, when you don't have that, that's where it can be overwhelming and confusing of, I just need to try so many things. I need to do everything because I don't know what's for me. So it's kind of like throwing spaghetti on a wall of being like, okay, I'm going to try this. Does this stick? Does this? Without bringing in that, again, that body piece, that intuitive piece that's really able to like lead you through the process.
Yeah, overwhelmed is definitely something that happens to me sometimes. So that's a good reminder always for me, like, take a breath. Because I do rely heavily a lot of times on that, my knowledge base, but also have this need to like seek information externally, where a lot of times we've already been exposed to all the information that we need and we could just get quiet and it could drop in, right? And so some of the other things I've noticed, people that are in that doing, like, they are tired, they are overwhelmed, they feel disconnected. And you said all of this in just a different way. I'm just summing it up here. And they feel like they're losing their sense of purpose, or they don't really know what they're working toward anymore after a while. And they've just been doing it so long. And so they start longing for those things, right? They're longing for clarity. They're longing for connection. They're longing for understanding what their purpose is. They're, yeah, like that longing and that craving come in. But then there's like that piece. It's like where you're so stuck in the doing, and the transition to being feels like you're not doing, which it's true, but it's very uncomfortable sometimes when you're in that, you know, survival place. So what are some of the tools that you help people get, you know, moved out of that? And feel free to explore if you want some of that, the stages, but if you want to bring that in or not. And yeah, how, flip the switch, so to speak, like, how do you help people do that transition?
Yeah, the recently, like the phases you just kind of mentioned recently, I developed a 4-phase system of healing, or framework, that you can easily kind of track your way through it. And it's linear, which is, I know, is wild, but it makes sense. And so we start, the first 2 phases are very much in our body. The first phase being very informational. The second phase is in the doing. So that's the phase that most people get stuck in. And the third phase is, third and fourth are more in the body. And so that's kind of where you're more into the nuance. You're able to trust yourself, to guide yourself. You're open to possibility. Like, it's just a lot more flow and ease in the third and the fourth. And so the transition point, the initiation between phase 2 and phase 3 from the mind to the body is through our emotions and through nervous system work, which is our emotions. And so I know it's like something that a lot of people, and if you're stuck in phase 2, maybe it's those things that you've been like, trying to avoid, trying to get, do the right thing to get the result without going there. And unfortunately, or fortunately, it is something that we have to face in order to move through the rest of our healing, is through our emotions and the state of our nervous system, and creating safety in our body so that we can integrate our body and to have both sides, both the mind, the logic, and the feeling, the intuitive side. And they're both really important. And so to try and get through your healing just in phase 1 and 2 won't get you the results that you want.
Yeah. And that makes me kind of like think back to like discussing kind of the way people feel if they're stuck in that doing, when they could be, the invitation to the being is those things that seem the hardest, like the most resistant, that they're coming upon and they just keep banging their head against the wall. That's probably the best time for them to take a minute, like take a beat. And I use this term, slow down to speed up, right? Like, just get present with yourself, get present to all, you know, like allowing openness and blankness within your body and your mind and your field, and allowing, like, open to receiving, right? Being is much more open to receiving than giving, I feel like. And so it's like almost magic sometimes when you've been beating your head against the wall for like a year on this problem, and then you take 10 minutes to, it might take more than that, but once you learn the art of switching into that being and asking for answers in that way, like using questions like, what would it take to, and just allowing that information to infiltrate with like curiosity, right? And letting go of whether the work that you've done for the last year has maybe been all for naught even, and like what could be the other way we go, and allowing just that space to be connected to more information than we ever thought possible, but we don't have to sift through it on a piece by piece case, right? We can be open to receiving the right next step for us or the right next answer for us. That's more in alignment than trying to just break our way through with a sledgehammer.
Yeah, it's the shift. Maybe the vision I got was I've been hanging out with my nieces a lot, and they're 8 and 10 years old. And I'm just seeing like how our education system programs you to constantly be seeking information, seeking the right information, and your value based on how much information that you're able to hold. And so I see this in my young nieces, like they're very proud of when they can memorize something and when they have the answer to something. Part of it, like, I'm like, oh, that's beautiful that they're really smart. But part of it's like, we're trying to program that part of us out. And that's the difference between, I think, the phase two and the phase three. So the mind and the body, is we think we need to go seek out every piece of information in order for us to have the value, in order for us to find healing through that information, through that value that we've built, that then we're finally worthy of healing. Whereas when you move into the body, that information flows to you effortlessly. It's not about you going, having to, you know, turn over every rock to find what works for you or the piece of information or the modality that's going to heal you. You're receiving the information that you need every day, the exact amount of information, the exact piece of information that you need to take that step that day. And you don't need to seek anything else. And so it's a huge shift from that constant output of energy. So it's also very draining. If people are stuck in this phase, they can be very tired and drained because they've been putting out so much energy in the doing. And when you're in the being, you kind of are closing that tap off. You're plugging that energetic drain hole and you're just, you know, receiving the information. And like you said, it doesn't mean you're not doing, but you're not overexerting yourself in that doing. It's coming effortlessly. It's integrating effortlessly into your life. It's very easy to be like, oh, I know exactly what I need to do today.
And the beauty of that effort, I do have to say that when we do this work on our own, again, like our subconscious is so good at keeping us in that place of doing because that's what we have been used to. But also I would say for people that are doing this healing work, that there is a space in there that once you get to the being and all that information can come in effortlessly, there is a piece of resistance, tension in there as you start to unpack, you know, your past beliefs and your trauma and your experiences that may not feel easy. But when you look back on it, you can see how all of those things really brought you to where you are now and provide that insight, you know, into you as like what your traits are as a person, you know, but that helps you, right? Because then you get to leverage those as you also move forward. Once you can accept those parts of yourself, then you can indulge them, so to speak, but learn what they really are craving, right? It's usually what's coming out externally isn't necessarily what you're really internally craving, which is that nourishment, right? And learning how to really nourish yourself instead of just give it all like out into the external. And I think that goes across the board, like you kind of alluded to diet. And I think that can, you know, goes across the board for all of those things and in all parts of our life, right? The financial, the nutritional, the movement, the business and relationships. And I know that's a huge part is being in relation to other people and ourselves, right? Like that's a huge part of being more connected to this information too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to get like the first step that I give my clients to move from, you know, their mind into their body is just a simple act of what does it actually look like to feel your feelings? Because people talk about that all the time, but I don't think most people know what that looks like as a felt experience. Like, well, how do I actually do that? Like, do I just sit and dwell on them? Or like, do I play some sad music and bring them out? And what does that look like? And so I've broken it down into a process for my clients so they can actually literally just, oh, I'm going to feel my feeling. I'm going to let it process through my body. Like I'm going to allow it to be. And that is such a game changer. Like it's such a basic tool, but it's a really great starting off point to start to create safety in your body. Because like you said, when you move into your body, then you uncover all of the things that you're really not comfortable with, right? And so it's about creating safety in that space, creating safety in your body. And a lot of the times why we've lived in our heads is because it's safer there, because we know, like it's predictable, it's the known, the certainty. And when we move into our body, it's like, well, you know, I just want to push it down there. I'm like, I don't want to know what's there myself. I don't want anyone else to know what's there, where you need to really establish a practice of creating safety.
Yeah, I would say that's number one. Moving from doing to being is being safe. That doing comes up a lot for that avoidance, but also for, you know, that safety. And with my clients, that's the, you know, number like one is getting into their body. I do that through infinity breath meditation that I have developed. And that also connects people to source and to like the earth energy, but bringing them into their body. But yeah, that permission, like, it is amazing how either when I'm working in person with myofascial release or working energetically distance with people, and that stuckness and that resistance, and I would say confusion too, comes up a ton when you're asking them about their feelings. And then they start off with, well, I think, and then you're like, okay, we've already missed the feeling part because we went straight to I think. And then my next step is usually like, well, what if you just gave yourself permission to feel it, like for the next 60 to 90 seconds, right? Like emotions move through us in 60 to 90 seconds unless we latch onto them, unhold them, or attribute them to some meaning that maybe they don't even deserve, right? And that act of giving them permission is also, or them giving themselves permission, really, you know, I ask the question, it's not me per se giving permission, but even bringing that up as an option for them to give themselves permission to do it differently than they have before. And looking at it again, bringing that curiosity bubble in, like, is so important during this space. Yeah, but that permission to feel is, and what that unleashes for people is life-changing, right? Because now they're like, oh, 60 to 90 seconds. Well, I can do that almost any time. And then if you can't, you know, then I have them just a tool I use for them. It's called the lasso technique. But like, I just have them like put it up in that lasso and be like, okay, I have time at 6 o'clock. I mean, this is really doing phase again, but it's all transition. And you know, like we still have 3D lives a lot of the times. And so we got to bring it back and purposefully give themselves space in their schedule to where they can feel it a little bit later, but not like weeks or months or years, right? It's like that day or the next day, like I'll, you know, bring that in. Like I broke up with my boyfriend and I'm really sad, but I got all this work to do. And I mean, that is all relative, right? But it's the life we're living. But bring that back in as soon as you can, right? Like bring it back in to just let it process and move through you.
Yeah. It's a huge thing to recognize the story that you've created around an emotion is actually more painful than just feeling the emotion for 60 to 90 seconds. And so a lot of the times we create our own suffering. And so a lot of this work is being able to recognize that and just seeing that and even just practicing that once, practicing and allowing yourself to feel your feelings once, all of a sudden opens up like, oh, okay, like this is not as hard as I made it out to be. It's actually harder to do what I was doing. And it kind of just, yeah, opens up this whole new way of being and navigating, especially your body.
Yeah, it's kind of back to that resistance, right? Like when something is scary, it's never, shouldn't say never, but rarely is it as scary as we thought it was going to be once we get to the other side, right? And it's the same of feeling your emotions as it would be jumping off a cliff into the water, right? Like it is the same experience in our brain. Like we have the fear attached to both of those things becomes the same.
Yeah, it's that survival brain that's kicked in. And again, it probably goes back to a childhood experience where you weren't made safe to feel your feelings or you weren't safe to express something. And it's that reptilian brain, you know, that creates that survival instinct that equates that with death. And when we finally tend to that part of ourselves and open it back up and see that it's 60 seconds of maybe discomfort, not death by any means, it's really empowering and it can really create that momentum to get unstuck rather quickly.
Yeah. And that reminds me, there's something that I like, something that was brought to my awareness a few years ago and that I catch myself using, but I've almost forgotten that I do it now. But I'll actually even say that after things that have seemed hard. And it's like, oh, I can do hard things and I survived. Or oh, I could do that and I survived. And it takes like some of that communication with yourselves, basically like all of yourselves to be like, oh, wait, you were wrong. That wasn't that scary. And I survived. Like we could do it again next time.
Yeah. A lot of around like emotions, but beliefs, stories around different things. Is that actually true? Like just asking yourself, is that actually true? Or is that actually likely? And the answer, like again, is 99% no, it's not true. It's not likely. And just even that awareness, opening up to a different possibility is really going to create some shifts in your life.
Yeah. And it's amazing how just poking one hole in one area of something in that subconscious does open that up. Because I feel like in many people, it's easier for them to be more curious, right? Like, oh, what else wasn't quite right that I experienced that now I can see different with the logic of being adult or have moving through that experience or, you know, something like that. And as you know, like we create this experience, right, every day. So the other piece I feel people get stuck is that validation of that experience, right? And so I tend to bring that into conversation too. It's not negating your experience in that moment, but in that moment, you had different tools, right? Or maybe none. So it's not that that experience didn't happen, but maybe there's other parts of that experience that also happened and that were also true. And, you know, people aren't off the hook for bad behavior. People aren't. It's just for the sake of you, because you get to choose you moving forward and how the life you want to create. And I love how you've brought in that piece of story so much, but that really is like the end, I think, is that we get to create that story and we get to hold the story that we most like we're drawn to, right? Like we're pulled to it when we're in alignment of being. And so we're able to create that story as we move forward.
Yeah, it's committing to creating that story. So I find it's when you integrate that body part is when you get that clarity of what you really want too. Because sometimes when you're stuck in the doing, you don't really have a firm grasp of why you're doing it. You just want things to shift. Like, you know, you want something different. And maybe for now in that doing, it's a material want because you think it'll actually give you a different feeling. So it's like we want this thing because we think it'll mean this feeling. I think it'll improve this part of our life. And so when you're integrating the body, you're really becoming more clear on what that really is, what you want. And it's more about maybe not the thing, but how do you want to feel? And so it's using that as fuel to create the stories of your life now, instead of perhaps somebody else's idea of a dream life or somebody else's prescriptive advice about how much money that you should strive to make a year. And, you know, it's all based on the things, the doings, the material outcomes, rather than like, how do I actually want to feel in my life? What's important to me? And being able to tune into your body is like a crystal ball of what that is for you, because it won't be what it is for somebody else.
Yeah. What kind of sparked for me in there too is this idea, like we talk about the subconscious, and I'm sure the you hold this opinion of it too. Like, it's not in our mind, right? Like we use the term subconscious mind, but it's not in our brain. And all of us, all of our energy, all of our body and our mind, right? Like, it's all parts of it put together. And so that's where I think sometimes when we talk about our clients holding stuff in their body, they get a little bit skeptical or a little bit don't really understand. It's because that subconscious is actually in also our body, not in the mental space, right?
Yeah, it can be imprinted in our nervous system. And so energetically with emotions, but also I'm finding in my work, because I do a lot of emotional release work, I see that sometimes if it's been held there long enough or if it's a big enough energy, it creates imprints in our nervous system that can still repeat, even though it's kind of, you don't have the same attachment to it. So a lot of my work now has been like, okay, what are those big things that really set your nervous system on fire, like really put you into that fight or flight? And then how do you reprogram your nervous system to match, again, the new story, to have capacity for that new story, to, you know, be able to create that space to hold what you actually have that vision of in your life.
Yeah, it's so interesting how efficient our bodies are, right? And how efficient with the integration of just the nervous system, the mind and the body. And it really has shortcuts built into it, so that we don't have to think about our response time. Like, if we are legit running from a tiger, we don't have to think about all the things, right? We don't think about the rocks and the sticks and, oh, the sun is blue and the sky is blue and the sun is out, or there's a mountain over there, or, oh, there's a something else over here, right? And there's a shortcut, it says run, and that's all. Like, or, you know, that's probably like a poor example because you probably shouldn't run from a tiger, but here be more fun that way.
I still would probably try. Yeah.
But the point being is, in that space to stay safe, stay comfortable, stay efficient, we hardwire these shortcuts and we don't even know we're experiencing them really. They don't come up to that conscious thought. And it can even, they've done research, just to bring that in a little bit, the logic side of this, that we actually start producing chemicals, hormones, reactions within our body to prepare for something weeks ahead of time. So like, if you had a speech that you were doing and you think you're afraid of public speaking, like, you already start to produce that adrenaline and all of the things in response to how it happened last time for you without even thinking about it. And I think that's where sometimes behavior change becomes so hard, is because that is wired in our nervous system, right? And that response is wired in our nervous system. And we have to be very intentional to catch it. And that requires us to be in a state of being. So those are those fun circles of those negative feedback loops that we can get in, right? Like where one thing makes the other thing worse, which makes the other thing worse, which makes the other thing worse. And we have to find that way to get out of that cycle. And I feel like there's a lot of things people can do at home, you know, like breath work exercises. And most importantly, we both talked about that safety piece, like even just telling yourself, I'm safe, I survived, like every day, all day long, until you can move out of survival, right? And space, like just getting space in your life for, we say nothing, but it's really like in the most important work that you could ever do is in that space of quietness. And where we bringing in a coach or a healer, Jenilee and I both have had this discussion. It's like those words, and sometimes they're hard to describe the work that we do, because if we really do like this mind, body, spirit kind of work, and it is part coaching, but it's really alchemy, right? Like we're really working at that transmutation level. And that's where that can become really beneficial in people's lives, is because if you're stuck in that loop, it's really hard to see it for yourself sometimes. And so we can offer that bit of reflection. But also it's really amazing when you work in this space of energetics, how much safe space that you can actually hold around and for another person until they can actually learn to feel it for themselves. I really think that's one of my biggest gifts, is being able to hold this like incredible amount of space for people to feel safe, feel calm, and have all these huge, big emotions in that space, but still come out feeling safe, right? And do you have experience that that happens with you too, with people that you're working with?
Yeah. And a lot of it, I think there's a key piece in my work too, where I'm able to help them name what they're feeling through energetics and quantum stuff, to be able to tune into what that is. So to help them bring up that thing that's really scary, and without judgment, just, you know, with complete gratitude. Again, like if you didn't have the tools at the time, you know, like your body created this, and that's really cool that you had this tool. And now we have new tools. And so having, bringing gratitude to the whole situation too, it's not a shame-filled thing to dive into these really hard emotions. It's a beautiful process. And I'm honored to be able to help people through that and to be able to hold that space for them to create these new patterns, to create these new programs in their life so that they can move on from working with me, because in that space together that we've created, you know, the new capacity for them to carry on and choose the new and create that life that they have that vision of, where, you know, they're a master of their emotions and their nervous system is resilient. And, you know, it creates this beautiful experience to move forward from. And I always see it like a ripple out effect too. So when we're doing that work, especially with emotional and nervous system work, we become that beacon of safety for other people around us too. And so whether or not you're intentionally trying to, which I think it's less of an effort, it just becomes more of your way of being. So it's not even that you have to, you know, go into a situation and be like, okay, I'm going to hold space for this person. But it just becomes a part of your being. Your presence becomes that valuable piece for other people. And so I think that's really cool to see that through my presence with other people, that ignites that in their presence, that they can then ripple out into their families and their relationships and their communities.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. And that is, again, one of the most amazing pieces of being, is to be able to see that about yourself, right? And to be able to follow that such like soul aligned journey that allows for curiosity and exploration and a little bit of play and a little bit of like shifting, right? I think that's another piece. I know you're a real expert on purpose too, but to me, while our underlying purpose may stay kind of the same as we go, we really get to experience that in different ways when we're being, right? Than we do when we're doing. And it gets to evolve, and I don't know how exactly all of it works, but sometimes it's magic. Like you're just like, oh, I'm going to step on that timeline and we're going to cruise, right? Like other times it's a little more people, but but once the art of being becomes a part of you, there's a lot more of that available to you to see and be drawn in those places. And I think we've covered that a lot, but yeah, I just wanted to bring that point back. And I know that part of this has, you work on meditations for people and you work on different things that people can do at home. And I think you brought a gift for everybody that they can jump in and start doing this at home.
Yeah, it's that first step that I spoke about of just knowing how to feel your feelings as they arise and being able to allow that your body to process them naturally and creating that safety. So you can start doing that today, and I'll share the meditation here with you. But it's literally, I think it's under 5 minutes. And the process, again, once you get used to it, you wouldn't have to use the meditation. You could probably do it sitting there in 60 to 90 seconds, like Joni said. And so it'll walk you through exactly what that looks like, what to focus on so that you don't let your mind take over the process, so that it remains in your body and so that you can actually begin to create safety in your body. And so whether or not you're a healer or a coach, or you're someone that is looking to this for your own work, but once you do that with yourself, you can also use it as a tool with your clients as well. And so it's just that foundational piece that we need to kind of work on ourselves to be able to create safety with ourselves in our own body.
Yeah, awesome. And all of Jenalee's stuff will be linked for you in the show notes, but you do find her Instagram at expert.you, right? And so she's expert you, and that'll all be in the show notes. And I want to thank you again. I know we could jam all day probably, but and call this an end for today, as long as you feel complete in this conversation and there was anything else you wanted to share.
No, thank you so much again for having me on and exploring this topic with me, which I know is so relevant for a lot of us right now. And yeah, thank you for holding that space.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, so we'll end it there. And thanks, Jenalee, again, and we'll see you all next week.
So amazing. You've reached the end of another episode of Creating Flow. And I want you to know I appreciate your presence and to remind you, knowledge is powerful, but taking action is transformative. I invite you to take the next step to activate your full potential today by scheduling a complimentary 15-minute session with me. A no-obligation chat to identify the messages your body is sending you and how I can not only help you understand these messages, but teach you how to heal your body in order to have an abundance of health and energy in your life and business. Visit the link in the show notes to book a call, and I'll see you next week.